fitting that Wonder Woman made her solo movie debut on the 75th anniversary of the character's creation. The superhero movie has done wonders for Warner Brothers and DC Comics, holding the number one spot at the box office for a second weekend and taking in $57 million over the weekend. Is Wonder Woman a larger commentary on the portrayal of women in media? That's one question we're exploring this hour with Jessica Bennett. She's a contributing writer at the New York Times and author of Feminist Fight Club, a survival manual for a sexist workplace. She also helped start the Lean In Collection, a photo initiative with Getty Images to change the depiction of women in stock photography. And she recently wrote an article titled, If Wonder Woman Can Do It, She Can Too. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you had some preconceived ideas about Wonder Woman heading in to see the movie. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, I actually didn't have a lot of ideas at all. I'd never really been a Wonder Woman fan. I hadn't watched the television show. I wasn't super into comics growing up. And the last time I'd seen an action film at all, I think, was literally years and years ago, like the remake to the remake of Batman with my younger brothers as a kid. So I wasn't quite sure what to expect. And in fact, I almost pulled the plug and decided not to go earlier in the day, just thinking, I don't know, I'm not really into action films. And then I was...
You were a blank slate.
Exactly. But turns out I was very pleasantly surprised and ended up leaving, you know, sort of feeling like I could do anything. I was ready to fight people on the street.
So what made you want to see the film then?
So, you know, I write about gender issues, and the idea that this is an action film with a huge budget that has a female director and is starring a woman, I was very curious to see how that would play out, because, you know, there's all of these tropes about how woman-led or woman protagonists may not actually sell or attract moviegoers in the same way that those with men do. And it was actually very moving to show up at the theater, and there's a huge circling, winding line outside. This was the opening weekend, with all of these families, lots of young girls, lots of young boys there with their parents, all waiting to see Wonder Woman.
So you were proud during the film. You even cried. What was going on?
Yeah, so, you know, without issuing too many spoilers, there's a scene in the very beginning, and the backstory to Wonder Woman is that she comes from an all-woman island called Amazonia. And so in very early on, there's a fight scene where a man shows up on the island, and all of these female warriors are protecting their island. And, you know, truly, how many fight scenes have we seen in film and television over the years? Thousands, and they always involve men. So to see all of these women, only women, fighting to defend their land, I suddenly kind of burst into tears and didn't even quite know why. I became very emotional, and it was very moving to watch.
Yeah. And what about the people around you? What was the reaction like in the theater?
So I was sitting next to this adorable little girl who was there with her mom and dad, and she was hilarious and amazing to listen to throughout the course of the film, but she had kind of an ongoing commentary with her mother, and, you know, the film's pretty violent, so there were parts where I think her parents were sort of covering her eyes, but she just kept repeating throughout the entirety of the film, she's so strong, and she was just kind of amazed, I think, at how strong this character was.
And reviewers have gushed about this film. You cried. Why such a visceral reaction to Wonder Woman?
You know, I think it's so rare that we see women depicted in, you know, in this case, a hero action role. She's truly a superhero. She is a superhero who happens to be a woman. And that never happens. At least it never happens on the big screen. Maybe in indie films, you know, if you are going to delve into comic books, yes. But really for the mainstream, something like this with a budget this big and a marketing initiative around it, we don't see that. And it doesn't just extend to superheroes. It extends to, you know, all sorts of film and media and television and the way that women are depicted or sometimes not even depicted at all. You know, there's a lot of really interesting research around this. And what some of it finds is that women have a fraction of speaking roles in most movies. And even in G-rated films, they're less likely to appear. They are more likely to be portrayed in sexy clothing. They are less likely to hold jobs, like actual professional jobs. You know, so the men will be doctors and lawyers and business people, and the women will just be sort of like ancillary characters who don't really have an identity or a career. And so I think, you know, the argument can be made that that stuff actually really does matter, that that sends a message to people watching television and consuming culture about what women can be in the world.
We're talking right now with Jessica Bennett. She's a contributing writer for the New York Times and the author of Feminist Fight Club, a survival manual for a sexist workplace. She's also author of the piece, If Wonder Woman Can Do It, She Can Too. Have you seen the movie? Call in 800-642-1234. If you've seen it, why? What did you think about its portrayal of a female superhero? That's 800-642-1234, or you can post your thoughts about Wonder Woman on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Jessica, you know, how does this portrayal of Wonder Woman highlight the issues we face in the representation of women in media?
Well, I think it shows that on a number of levels, a woman can be a main character. She can be a protagonist. There is a love story component to Wonder Woman. You know, that's kind of a thing that you have to have in big blockbuster films. But to me, it was really interesting to see how that played out. And without giving too many spoilers, you know, it doesn't have your fairy tale ending where the man and the woman end up together. And I think that sends a message. And then, you know, this was a female-directed film. And
Patty Jenkins.
Yes, Patty Jenkins. And there was a large team of women working on this film. And I read a bunch of interviews with Patty in which she talks about, you know, everyone always asks her the question, what was it like directing a woman? You know, how did the woman thing play into this? What do you think that being a woman affected how you directed this film? And of course, it did on many levels. But she says, you know, I was directing a hero. This is a hero to be portrayed in this film, and it didn't matter what her gender was. And so it was interesting to think about that throughout watching the film itself because, yeah, it was almost as if Wonder Woman's gender on some level was so important because we hadn't seen this before. But by the same token, it was almost extraneous. It didn't matter. You know, she was defending the land and it didn't matter if she was a woman or a man and the gender didn't always come into play.
Do you think that Patty Jenkins is successful because of her approach?
I think that there is a sense among consumers, and I know I certainly feel this, that we are tired of being kind of talked down to in a way. And so you go see these films and women often fill familiar tropes as background characters. And so I do think she's really breaking barriers with this. And I think she's done something really big. And, you know, it's just a movie, one can argue. But I think actually pop culture has a huge, huge impact on the way that people see the world, and especially young people, you know, children. And so we talk about little girls going to see Wonder Woman, and that's amazing, but little boys are going too. And they're being inspired by Wonder Woman. You know, you don't have to be a male superhero to be an icon.
Yeah, we were looking at audience breakdown. It was roughly half and half.
Yeah, and I think that's really amazing. That's so important, too. You know, it's not about just women seeing this movie. It's about everyone seeing this movie. And I think in some sense showing the box office that there is an appeal and there is a demand for film with women at the center.
Do you think this could change Hollywood studios and handing more jobs off to female directors? Or is this
well,
a turning point?
I mean, I hope so. You know, without being an expert on Hollywood, It certainly sends a really powerful message. And, you know, we all know the figures. Women make up a fraction of directors in Hollywood. And so I do hope that this will have a really big impact.
So you helped found the Lean In Collection. It's a photo initiative with Getty Images to change the depiction of women in stock photography. How does your view of women through your lens kind of influence how you see Wonder Woman, how you see this movie? Because you were a blank slate going in.
Yeah, I mean, I was a blank slate on one hand in the action sense, in the action film sense. But on the other hand, I have a lot of opinions on this topic. And I'm very well versed in what the research shows. So the Lean In Collection is kind of a mouthful to get out. But the idea behind that was that stock photography is basically the kind of imagery that anytime somebody's posting an article online or pulling images for an advertisement, there are these huge databases of images where you go to look for imagery. And typically what you find, if you're looking for things like, you know, scientist or hero or CEO, is a lot of white men. And women are depicted in these very background supporting ancillary roles. You know, there's all these funny memes on the internet about women laughing alone with salad or women physically climbing ladders in like stiletto heels, because this is what you end up finding when you try to look for images of women. And so what the Lean In Collection does is it just repopulates some of the imagery to provide images that more accurately reflect the realities that we live in, which means that women are sometimes leading and they're not always wearing stiletto heels climbing physical ladders, and they are scientists, and, you know, girls are studying science, and they can be athletes and they can be strong. And all of these tropes we're kind of trying to overturn quietly through this imagery that most people see everywhere, but they don't even realize it. And what the research shows is that that type of imagery has a really, really big impact on the way that we see the world. You know, we are influenced by it, and especially in a digital age where truly imagery is everywhere. From, I just think about my day to day, you know, getting on the subway, there's advertisements everywhere. Checking my email, there are pop-up ads. Television, it's on television. It's everywhere on the internet. So this imagery is everywhere, and if it's constantly dominated by men, then I think that that subtly sends us a message about the role that men and women should play. So I was going into the film knowing all of that and knowing that depictions on screen and visual depictions can be so, so powerful in terms of changing the way that, you know, consumers and consumers of culture simply see the world. And so I wasn't expecting to have the emotional response to Wonder Woman that I did. I was expecting to cry in the middle of an action film, but I certainly was expecting to see something that we hadn't seen before and to recognize the importance of that.
We're talking about the ripple effect of Wonder Woman this hour with our guest, Jessica Bennett. She's a contributing writer to the New York Times and the author of the article, If Wonder Woman Can Do It, She Can Too. Hollywood Reporter said last week that Wonder Woman's performance could put even more pressure on film companies to make more job offers to women filmmakers. It's the first film franchise featuring a female superhero after both Catwoman and Elektra flopped in the mid-2000s. So what do you think? Join in this discussion at 800-642-1234. Have you seen Wonder Woman? Are you planning to see it? Why or why not? What do you think about its portrayal of a female superhero? 800-642-1234, or post your thoughts about Wonder Woman on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Back in a moment. You might have seen her last year fighting alongside her counterparts, Batman and Superman, with her sword and lasso of truth in the underperforming film Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice. Until now, the male superheroes have controlled the big screen. We're talking about the blockbuster superhero film Wonder Woman this hour. Have you seen it? What do you think? Is there a larger commentary to be had on the role of female superheroes? 800-642-1234. Jessica Bennett stays with us. She's a contributing writer to the New York Times. She's also the author of Feminist Fight Club, a survival manual for a sexist workplace. And she recently wrote about Wonder Woman. Let's take a call now. Stephanie in Madison. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. So I hope I can articulate this well, but I had two alternating thoughts that kept going through my mind as I watched the movie, which I watched last night. And that was, what am I looking at here? Because I went into it with as a blank slate as well, for the same reasons that your guest mentioned. And then the other one was, boy, the cinematography was amazing. And when you watch men in movies, when the superhero hits the ground from high above, the ground, you know, explodes. But the women in the fight scene, especially on the beach, when they would jump off their horses and do the backflips, they would land with such poise. You didn't see all of this thing, all of this destruction. It was just so finessed. And then again, I would, through the movie, say, "What am I don't know what I'm looking at here." And my brain was confused, I think, because of, as mentioned, you know, we have these constant images of women, what women are or aren't. And I was trying to figure out, like, what kind of hero am I looking at?
Yeah. Jessica.
I love that. I think that's an amazing description, and I hadn't even thought of that, but you're so right. The ground shattering or shaking. And I too, when I was watching, it was that first fight scene that really struck me, when it was all of the women. And I remember thinking to myself, it really does look like these battle tactics have been choreographed for women's bodies. Like the way that they were gliding and twirling, and they were, you know, very strong and you could see their muscles, but they were elegant and graceful at once. It truly, like you said, my brain sort of didn't know what to do with it. I hadn't seen it before. And so, you know, to the question of, does it matter to have a female director? Well, certainly that may have not been a conscious decision to not make the earth, you know, shake every time they landed on it, but you definitely see her point of view. And I think that is a female perspective.
Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for your observations. Let's now go to Annette in Appleton, who has seen the film. Hi, Annette.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello?
Oh, I guess Annette cannot hear us. I want to go back to this sequence, Jessica, in which Diana fights her way through no man's land so that she can restore a supply chain to a little town that's starving to death. What do you make of this scene?
Well, you know, the men were sort of doubting her. They're like, nobody goes into no man's land. It's called no man's land.
Mm.
And so when she suddenly takes off her, she's wearing this sort of cape to cover herself and not show that she's Wonder Woman. And when she takes that off and suddenly starts ferociously running through no man's land, protecting the men behind her. And, you know, of course they're baffled. They're looking at each other like, oh my God, what is going on right now? It's just, and the music that you keep playing on the breaks, that is the music that's playing. And it's just such a powerful scene. I think everyone got goosebumps there. And so rare that you see a woman charging into battle, leading and protecting the men behind her.
And there we have some of that music. We're talking with Jessica Bennett, who is a contributing writer at the New York Times, author of Feminist Fight Club, a survival manual for a sexist workplace. You can weigh in on Superman, 800-642-1234. What do you think about its themes, about its portrayal of women, and also in the category of an action film? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Let's now go to Howard in Milwaukee. Hi, Howard.
Oh, hello. I just wanted to make mention, I have not seen the movie, but I wanted to make mention of action figures or women in action roles. And a movie that I just recently saw was called 10 Cloverfield Lane. And it featured Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who undoubtedly is the protagonist hero in an action film. I also wanted to bring up the History Channel had numerous episodes, and one of the leading figures were shield maidens, who are women that did lead men into battle and protected the men. Also, there is protagonist roles in non-action movies that have left a really strong impression on me, and that's Fences, The Help, and Hidden Figures. And I just wonder if it's just a perception and reality.
Is Howard picking up on a theme, Jessica?
Perception and reality of what, Howard?
A perception and reality of women not in action roles. Women being underportrayed in movies.
It's not. And I'll tell you why. To your point, I do think that there are some really strong, amazing characters that exist out there. Certainly Hidden Figures was huge. But there is data on this. And data, you know, shows things like, I'm going to read off a couple of statistics because I found them shocking. So the Gina Davis Institute on Gender and Media has studied this for a number of years. And every year or so, they look at huge, huge swaths of films. And they look at speaking time, the amount of things spoken by women. They look at characters. And what they found is that even in G-rated films, 81% of working characters between 2006 and 2009 had no jobs. The female characters had no jobs. So male characters were more likely to be depicted in medical science, business, law, politics, basically all those industries that we hear about where we need to encourage women to enter into. And yet, only men depicted. And so, again, women fill less than a third of speaking roles in films across the world. This is by another study out of the University of Southern California. So, certainly, I think that there are some really amazing examples like Howard mentioned, but there are not enough. And the reality is we shouldn't have to seek them out. And I think at some point, if we get to a place where this just becomes normal, we won't be having radio shows devoted to the depiction of women. It will just be there. And certainly I appreciate that we're talking about this, but I also recognize that I think we still have a long way to go. And it's, you know, you think about some of the adult films and you think that maybe there are women portrayed less there. But, you know, what about Disney? What about shows for kids? But even in those films, you know, Frozen, somebody did a study of Frozen, and they found that male characters spoke 59% of the lines in that show. And even in Star Wars, you know, if you were to take out Princess Leia and look at the other female characters, what you would find is that female characters would speak a total of 63 seconds in a film that is 378 minutes.
Well, Howard, thanks for your observations. Jessica, how does this portrayal of Wonder Woman by Gal Gadot compare to past portrayals of female superheroes?
So I'm by no means an expert in action films because I've never really been into them, which I think is why, in some ways, this has been so powerful for me. But what I noticed about this film was that, you know, she was strong. She wasn't a waify, skinny supermodel fighting off enemies. I read interviews where she said she had to gain something like 60 pounds for this role. And so one could make the argument, you know, Wonder Woman is still arguably half naked in this film. Like, she's not wearing a lot of clothes. And I think that that's the criticism we often hear about female characters. But what you do see is that she has muscle. She's strong, and she speaks up for herself. She's not, you know, sort of a wilting character. And, yes, she has this romantic interest, but in the end, she basically says, I need to do this on my own. And so I think we see her as a strong character throughout the film, and it's fascinating as well because she comes from, you know, narratively, she comes from this place of all women. So she has no idea that there is a difference between men and women. And so in certain scenes throughout the film, you know, they arrive in London and she marches into an all-male meeting about negotiating peace. And they're like, what is this girl doing in here? And she's like, what do you mean, what is this girl doing in here? Like, she has no concept of what it is to be a second-class citizen. And so she behaves in that way. And it's actually really refreshing to see, because I think, you know, the rest of us know that there are gender differences, and we have been attuned to that and accustomed to that throughout various aspects of our lives. But Wonder Woman knows no gender, and so she acts accordingly.
Let's take another call now at 800-642-1234. Nancy in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. The comment I would like to make is about the fact that WHA has had in the last couple of weeks more than one interview. Well, it wasn't an interview. It was an interview about the man who wrote a biography about the original writer of Wonder Woman. And what he had to say was that Wonder Woman's original writer told his wife one day, after they'd been married quite a long time and had a family of children, that he had fallen in love with the younger woman, and he wanted to bring this younger woman into their household to live with their family as his mistress. And he told his wife that if she wouldn't agree with this, he would leave her. So the wife agreed, and for the rest of their married life together, there were these two women, both, I think, very subjugated by the writer of Wonder Woman. And so it's very surprising to me that he wrote this pictorial display of this woman with many powers, great intuition evidently, great intelligence, and heavily endowed with muscular power certainly, and yet in his own household there were these two women living who I think were very subjugated women. And I'm wondering what your guest thinks of this contrast of what he produced from the images in his mind to the image from that to what was actually happening in his own household.
Yeah, so I've read a little bit about this, and as you say, I'm not sure about the mistress and her being forced into a part, but he was living in a polyamorous relationship. He had two partners, both of whom were women. And so when he was writing this, what I've read, and there's a really amazing biography on this by Jill Lepore. She's a writer at The New Yorker, and it's called The Secret History of Wonder Woman. And it's all about the story behind it. But this man, whatever his home life and his personal relationships were, he was very inspired by suffragists, by the women who had fought for the right to vote for other women. And as the story goes, I think actually his two female relationships, in whatever configuration they were living in, actually had a lot of influence on what he was writing. And so it's interesting to think about, maybe those women actually had more power than we think they did. You know, I don't know what their relationship status was, but maybe they influenced the way that this character was created and portrayed. And there's a lot of interesting research about, I think, one of the women in that relationship, her mother had been a suffragist, and it was somehow loosely related to the woman who founded Planned Parenthood. So there was a lot of politics, and there was a lot of feminist politics woven into the creation of Wonder Woman as a character. And certainly, you know, she's been portrayed in different ways throughout time, but some have argued that maybe this depiction of her in the film is actually getting back to her feminist roots. You know, whatever we may think of the original male creator's personal romantic relationship.
Well, Nancy, thanks so much for bringing up that backstory. Jessica, what advice would you offer to future writers, to future directors of DC Comics and other superhero films based on what you saw from Wonder Woman?
I mean, I think just simply to not write or create within the confines of some of the stereotypes we have about what women and men can do. You know, I think that certainly this depiction of Wonder Woman is very true to the story, in the sense that she's coming from a place where women ruled, and she goes into the world knowing that she can do whatever, if not more, than those around her can, whatever their gender may be. So I think that it's important to think about depictions when writing. And I think it's important to recognize that there has been a lack of female voices and to try to solve for that. But I also think, you know, this is an issue that exists on so many levels. It exists in the writing. It exists in the cinematography, in the wardrobe, in the way that we dress the characters, in their speaking lines, you know, making sure women have speaking roles as well. And then, of course, it exists in having women leading some of these films, you know, women directors, women writers. There are still too few of them. So I think to some extent it's also about encouraging young women to go into these fields and helping them up along the way, because for so long this has been a very white male dominated industry.
Let's now go to Elaine in Milwaukee. Hi, Elaine.
Good morning. I finally connected with you. I saw Wonder Woman last night, and it was, I'm saying it was at the Avalon, and I'm only mentioning that because they had like about a 15-minute history of Wonder Woman before the film aired, which I thought was really fascinating. It went into the polyandrous relationship and a lot of other things very quickly, but it certainly gave you something to think about when you saw the film. But what I wanted to comment about was, and I guess this is normal in these superhero films, there really was no blood in it, and I thought the action scenes were beautifully choreographed. But what else was interesting is before the film aired, of course, you have the trailers, and one of the trailers was for a spy movie that's coming out, and the hero of this film is female. And I think there was another film, I can't remember the name of either one of them, and it was also female. And I'm thinking that maybe this is almost a political backlash against what's going on in this country with women right now, to see this these strong women figures coming out in film.
Jessica.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And I hope that we continue to see more. I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of this goes down to financials, unfortunately. And so it's so important that these films are actually delivering. You know, Howard, the previous caller mentioned Hidden Figures. Well, that film broke box office records, and that film told the story of some of the women, the black women of NASA, who you never heard about, but who are behind the scenes as amazing scientists. And so that film delivered. It did very well, and so has Wonder Woman. And so I think that sends a really clear message to studios that these types of films are important and that they should continue to get behind them. But certainly, you know, it is possible to be political in cultural creativity.
Movie critics and movie buffs have been saying it's a movie that's been long overdue. Patty Jenkins directed Wonder Woman. Her last film was Monster. It won an Oscar, and it was made more than a decade ago. Jessica Bennett is helping us look at the feminist depictions of Wonder Woman, what they say. She's a contributor to the New York Times, the author of Feminist Fight Club, a survival manual for a sexist workplace. Could Wonder Woman be a game changer for women in Hollywood? Have you seen it? Did you give it high marks? Why or why not? Join in. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post your thoughts on Wonder Woman on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.
Diana of Themyscira, daughter of Hippolyta.
In the name of all that is good, your wrath upon this world is over.
Has Wonder Woman broken the Hollywood superhero movie glass ceiling? We're exploring the facets of its blockbuster success at the box office this hour, grossing well over $300 million and counting. What does it mean for women in Hollywood? What does it mean for our appetite for strong leading women? Is it time Wonder Woman had her own film? Join in, 800-642-1234, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking with Jessica Bennett, it. Her recent article is If Wonder Woman Can Do It, She Can Too. Jessica, we talked about what young girls are reacting to in this movie. What does this movie say for young boys who see it?
Yeah, I think it actually says the same thing it says to young girls, which is that girls can be heroes too. And it's so important for that message to be sent to boys and to men as it is for women, because it levels the playing field in some way. And to the extent that it's important that Wonder Woman delivers from a mainstream audience, you know, we need men and women to go see this film in order for it to be a success. And I think it's so great that there are so many young boys and so many dads taking their sons and daughters to see this film.
Let's go to Michael in Milwaukee now. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. How are you guys this morning?
Good. What would you like to add?
So there's one thing I wanted to say just about, I think more than breaking the mold, I think it's really sort of more of a return to form. Like 78 Superman, which is like the gold standard of a superhero film, you know, and how perfect it can be, was, you know, Superman had 78, Batman had 89, and we had to wait till 2017 to see a Wonder Woman film. But yet it was kind of a superhero film where for the first time in a few years, she is doing things heroic versus just kind of weighing collateral damage versus killing the big bad guy that gets introduced in the third act. Or for the last couple of years, superheroes are just kind of fighting each other.
I love that. Yeah, I don't have the perspective to know whether or not this is a sort of return to form, because I haven't always watched these films, but it's fascinating to hear that.
Look at Zack Snyder's depiction of her. It was her and Wonder Woman and Batman in Batman v Superman were a couple of the standouts, but she was, for like a Wonder Woman fan, she was far from perfect. And I feel like Zack Snyder has a lot to do with that. If you watch Sucker Punch, that would just drive, as you know, having anything to do with feminism, that kind of movie will just drive you nuts. It's so sexist and tasteless. I think it really did take this director to show off who Wonder Woman really is. And I have to correct something you said earlier. She's actually from a place called Themyscira.
Oh, thank you. Wait, and so the women the inhabitants are called Amazonian women?
Yes, they are Amazons, and the place is Themyscira, exactly.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for calling in with those observations as well. Let's now go to Gail in Madison. Hi, Gail.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
Sure.
I wanted to point out there were two scenes for me that had a lot of symbolism. The scene when they were getting ready to go into, I think it was like No Man's Land or No Wind's Land, but Steve and the other men held up the door as like a shield for her to get up and be catapulted into the clock tower to take down the big gun. And I thought that had a lot of symbolism about the men, the role that men can play to in the workforce or wherever in the culture to make sure that women are able to succeed. And then another scene that kind of gave me that same feeling was when Steve was talking to Diana. He said, it has to be me that sacrifices myself because you can change the world. Those two scenes really stood out for me.
Jessica?
Yeah, I love that. That's such a good point. The scene that she's referencing, they hold up this door so that she can leap off of it and jump into a clock tower. And I think you're so right. It's not just supporting, but it's like lifting her up.
Giving her a leg up.
And, yeah, giving her a boost. In order to, you know, yeah, as Steve said, save the world. And Steve, the love interest, I think it's important and interesting to point out as well, he was in many senses a supporting character, and he was a likable supporting character. Like, he was great, and it didn't make him weak that he was not leading this battle. He was supporting Wonder Woman, and he was an amazingly complex, and I think, wonderful character that also sent a message that men can be perfectly supportive and still be great characters.
Well, Gail, while you're still on the line, did you walk away from Wonder Woman feeling a sense of satisfaction? What were your emotions leaving the theater?
I absolutely felt a sense of satisfaction. I felt like the line at the end about, you know, it's not about what people deserve, it's about what you believe, really kind of turned my mindset back to personal accountability, not really making myself the judge of others to say what this person deserves or that person deserves, because for too long in the world, I think that's how we've approached things. And now it's more about what's in the inside of you and how you're going to live that in the world versus, you know, you judging other folks and feeling like what they deserve or don't deserve. Because we don't know everybody's story, but you can act on your own beliefs, and that's what you can control, I think, the most.
Well, Gail, thank you so much for calling in with that. Really appreciate it. Jessica, what would you say to people who haven't seen the film yet?
I would say go see it. From someone who didn't think that they were into action films, like, you know, I'm sure those diehard fans are already seeing it or have seen it. But for those who may not think they're interested, I think it's worth it just as, you know, I think this is historic in a lot of ways. And so to be a part of it, and for what it's worth, you know, for what Gail was saying about what she felt when she left the theater, it was so funny because I was supposed to go to another event after I left the theater, and I had seen it with a friend of mine, and we walked out, and I was like, I need to just, like, process this for a minute. Like, I need to talk about how we're feeling right now, because I feel sort of invincible, and, like, I want to go do something. Like, I want to go change something. And there were a lot of really funny responses on social media from people talking about how they left the film feeling like they could go, you know, fight for anything. And one of my favorites was from a woman who sent out an all caps tweet saying, oh my God, this must be what white men feel like all the time when they leave action films, because I literally feel like I could go take on anyone who crossed my path. And so, you know, action films can be inspiring. They can really rev you up. And in a way, seeing Wonder Woman, you know, made me want to take a little piece of that and do my own part.
Well, Mickey on Facebook writes with this observation. Mickey has seen the movie twice, is planning on seeing it a third time. As a feminist icon, Mickey says, I have two major objections to this portrayal of Wonder Woman. One is her boots. Why do the boots have heels? What warrior wears heels? Second, why does a woman need to have her heart broken before she realizes how strong she is? Why did her mother, a very strong woman herself, hold her daughter back to the point that Diana doubted herself so much? Just my thoughts on the movie as a portrayal of a strong woman.
So the boots point, I kept nudging my friend that I was in the theater with throughout, being like, can she just have regular shoes? Like, can we just get some sensible shoes for Wonder Woman? However, I was, you know, they were wedges, not heels, which, you know, semantics, but I was glad that they at least weren't like stilettos. But certainly I was like, can we get Wonder Woman some sensible shoes? And then also at various points when she was wearing that like petticoat, trying to go through villages, I was like, can we get Wonder Woman like a pair of pants, please? I think it would be much easier for her to walk. So yes, I think that, you know, there will always be things, I think, that one could argue that could be done better. And I've heard that argument as well about, yeah, why does it take a man to make her realize that how powerful she is? You know, there still is a Hollywood element to this. And there are a lot of tropes about the way that you can create narratives in Hollywood. But I guess my feeling is that this film does so much good that in this case, I will overlook Wonder Woman's wedge.
Well, Mickey, thanks so much for writing on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's now go to Mark in Durand. Hi, Mark.
Hello. I just wanted to mention a really strong character from China, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I mean, that girl, I think she was actually a villain in the film, but she, you know, kicked butt and took names.
Yeah.
And what about foreign films? Are strong characters for females in foreign films?
Honestly, you would probably know better than I would. what are some good examples? I'm trying to think. I think that, you know, not enough anywhere, frankly. And because Hollywood tends to still dominate, so much of the film that is international still comes from here.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for that point. Christina on Twitter writes, what surprised me was all the men in the audience. When I saw it, there were more men than women, Christina recalled, and she really enjoyed seeing that. What would you say to the audience breakdown, Jessica, what we're finding?
Yeah, I think where I saw it, and, you know, this is in Brooklyn, like this is not an accurate depiction of the world, but it was about half and half, and it was really nice to see families. There were so many families that had come together with sons and daughters, and a lot of, you could tell a lot of them had brought all of their friends, and there were these big groups of kids with their parents. But certainly, you know, there were men and women and girls and boys in the audience, and I think that that is so important because all this is you know, it's not just a girl or a woman's issue. It's for everyone, and if this film does, I think, what I imagine the directors wanted to, it will be appealing to everyone.
And when the inevitable sequence is announced, of course, there probably will be a sequel. What would you like to see in it that would even further what we've been talking about this hour?
I would like to see more people of color, frankly. I think that was one place where this film was lacking a bit. Maybe we could redesign Wonder Woman's shoes. I don't know. I feel like she can still have cute boots if we need to have that are flats. You know, gladiator sandals of some sort. And, you know, I would just be so excited to see what happens next. I think this was an amazing film, and I was really excited by it and inspired by it.
And it's everything is on the table when people look at these films in terms of their representation of women in media. Everything from what the female characters are wearing to what they say to how the scenes are portrayed. There's just a litany of things that this director has to think about.
Yeah, she does. And she has to make something enjoyable that grips you as well. And, you know, I think that if we can go into this film and leave it almost forgetting about some of these things, like they will exist. You know, there will be great depictions, but we want to just enjoy the film. And so I think that the more we start to integrate these things into film regularly, the less we may have to talk about it and think about it.
What will you be watching for as this Wonder Woman plays out at the box office? What are you keeping an eye on?
I mean, keeping the numbers up, you know, is so important. Keeping the numbers up, and I think the conversation has been amazing, and it continues to feel exciting, and people are engaging on it. And, you know, I actually have a bunch of friends who've been fundraising to buy tickets for different young girls' schools and mentorship programs, and people that, you know, getting young women to go, giving them the opportunity to go, and the boys too.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for being with us this hour.
Thank you for having me.
Jessica Bennett is a contributing writer at the New York Times, author of Feminist Fight Club, a survival manual for a sexist workplace. She also helped found the Lean In Collection, a photo initiative with Getty Images to change the depiction of women in stock photography. She recently wrote the piece, If Wonder Woman Can Do It, She Can Too. The Joy Cardine Show is produced by Brianne Chasso and Chris Molina with Michelle Johnson as executive producer. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and this is the You Are Stronger Than You Believe. Thank you, Wonder Woman, for that quote. Ideas Network.